Well, it is a busy week in Lansing, and the next few weeks likely to be very busy, too, for this so-called lame duck legislature. Joining us right now is State Senator Phil Pavlo. Phil, good morning. Phil, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going through Lapeer right now, Paul.
That's all right.
But, be patient with me. There's a bad cell service over here. But
all right.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, you guys are really, really busy, and I know that the lame duck session usually is pretty busy, but is it my imagination, or is there more legislation in the pipeline now than there usually is in lame duck?
Well, I'd say that the volume of legislation in the pipeline is probably similar to any lame duck. The question is, what piece of that volume are we going to take out and actually act on? This year is a little bit different because while the legislature is going to remain in Republican control, all our constitutional offices will be changing to Democrat control. So it does change the dynamic just a little bit.
Which piece of legislation is nearest and dearest to your heart? What are you hoping to see enacted?
Well, there's a couple things that I think are real important going forward for Michigan, regardless of who the governor is. And it really revolves around keeping our economy going. So what measures are in front of us that are going to make sure that families still have the opportunity to enjoy a good, strong, growing economy? And that will be, a part of it will be a spending bill that we're going to probably start dealing with next week that can potentially reduce some of the long-term liabilities. I think that, you know, the way that we can prop up our local units of government and our school districts is by relieving some of the tension and pressure on their budgets so that they can control and deliver services.
In what way? Because there's a lot of retired teachers out there that said, wait a minute, what are you talking about?
Well, this doesn't affect retired teachers. What we're talking about is we all know that there's a significant amount of debt in our system, and we're in a position right now in Michigan where we can address that debt. And when I say address the debt, I'm not saying on the backs of anybody who's in that system. I'm saying like with surpluses that we've been able to generate and policies that we're going to, you know, be able to give to locals to have more tools in their toolboxes and to be able to address those things. So it isn't, there isn't anything on the retirement system that's in front of us that's going to impact individuals other than having some more resources applied to that problem.
I know our Port Huron City Manager James Freed has been in your office lately and really over the last few years pushing for pension fund reform that would help Port Huron and other municipalities. Is he going to get everything that he's hoping for, do you think?
Well, I think that there are going to be some elements that are going to be passed out of the Senate here, maybe this week, maybe next week, that's going to give some flexibility to how we're treating our debt. And I think that those are very necessary because, look, it isn't just the city of Port Huron. It isn't just the state of Michigan. There is a pension crisis in this country. You know, listening to your show on the way over, people are living longer. The mortality tables have changed. Our markets haven't been, you know, giving the best returns on those pension assets as it is. So the combination of living longer and less returns actually puts in, you know, to some focus the ability to continue to deliver that promised and constitutionally guaranteed pension. So it's tough work, and it doesn't all happen in one day, but it's necessary.
What about the minimum wage legislation and paid time off? This is something that was going to go on the ballot here in Michigan, but the legislature decided to take it on first, and now there are some changes, I guess, proposed to that as well to perhaps not raise the minimum wage in Michigan.
Yeah, we addressed that yesterday. The minimum wage is going to go to $12 an hour. We extended that out. It was supposed to be there by 2024. We extended it to 2030. You know, and just to remind voters, everybody's probably happy the election is over, but one of the processes that the citizens of Michigan have to address their legislature is through the process of citizen initiative. And so for your listeners who aren't that dialed in, you know, you go out and you collect a few hundred thousand signatures, and the process has one of two pathways. The process that was chosen for the minimum wage was the citizens initiative, which once those signatures are validated, the issue goes to the legislature. We're built into the system. We can make a decision either to accept it, modify it, or send it directly to the ballot. We made the decision to accept it, with the option of modifying it later, and that's what we did. So the bottom line is the reason for our modification and, you know, my support for changing it is real simple. The more of government mandates that we put on employers, that cost mounts up quickly, and it typically results in that employer either trimming the workforce or cutting back in another way to address that. So, you know, philosophically, is it the legislature's prerogative to determine how much the pay scale is? If so, which is what was presented to us, how do we deal with it responsibly? And that's the path that we took.
It's a real showdown between Senator Rick Jones and Pete Lucido over civil asset forfeiture. Where do you see that going?
Well, I think the Senate stepped up and took the right direction. Look, Representative Lucido is a hard-driving, passionate guy about things that matter to him. I was in, you know, constant contact with Sheriff Donlin, our prosecutor, to see what this really means to, you know, the local system. And, you know, so I stay close to that. It appears that the alternative that the Senate is going to take is going to be much more palatable and effective for our local system. So, you know, I mean, there's always differences, points of difference on just about every issue in Lansing. And, you know, there's 100 different ways to skin a cat. I've always taken the approach to get the counsel from the people that are dealing with us on a daily basis, hence reaching out to, you know, our local elected folks to help me understand the challenges of it.
You're at the end of your final term. You are term limited out. You've served your maximum time in the House, maximum time in the Senate. Has your view on term limits changed at all?
You know, for me personally, you know, and I've said this many times in the last couple months, I'm as excited to be leaving and starting a new chapter in my life as I was excited to come into this. And so I've had the opportunity to bookend 14 years of service and meet just incredible people, work on very difficult issues, and I'm fulfilled. 14 years is absolutely enough for me. But I think that at some point in the future, the voters of the state of Michigan are going to have a chance to modify term limits. And I believe that the term and the length of time is appropriate. I think you can accumulate enough working knowledge of a complex state government system in that period of time. You know, the question is, should we be able to spend 12 years in the House or 12 years in the Senate? And that'll be debated. But, you know, for me personally, I could just say that I got there because of term limits. When Representative Hager was, you know, term limited out of the House, it opened up a spot for me to run, as did term limits when Senator Gilbert left the Senate. So, you know, I look at it as those men could still be potentially serving in it, and I would have been doing something different. So it creates opportunity. It really does push a citizen's legislature. I mean, I've been able to serve with nurses and blueberry farmers and, you know, UP loggers. And, you know, so there's a very diverse group of legislators. And I think that has kind of been one of the plus sides to it.
Well, what's next for Phil Pavlov?
Well, I mean, I'm going to let the clock run down. I mean, we have, you know, 2 or 3 weeks worth of really difficult work. And I'll sit back and assess this, you know, over the holidays. And, you know, there's some opportunities out there. I haven't made a decision yet, but, you know, I will probably stay somehow connected. Just because you've built up such a working knowledge and a lot of great relationships, and I like the process. I want to be connected to, you know, to service at some level. Doesn't necessarily have to be elected service, so.
All right. Well, maybe the Phil Pavlov Show on WPHM. How about that?
Well, you know, get me a slot, but I don't want to take any jobs away from the people that are there.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, maybe something after 10 a.m. Phil, always a pleasure. Appreciate your time this morning.
WPHM has always allowed me access on any issues, whether good, bad, or indifferent, to, you know, to connect with our listeners and our constituents. And I've always appreciated the relationship. So if this is the last time as elected senator, you know, I want to thank you, your staff, and your team and the management there, because they've certainly given me access to explain, you know, the complex Lansing world.
Well, we appreciate your availability as well. Safe travels over to Lansing this morning, and hopefully we will talk again real soon.
Thanks again.
See you, Phil. Bye-bye.